Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. This is Thomas Birtel from Vienna calling. This time we are starting our quarterly call in the early morning instead of the early afternoon. I hope everybody who's interested in our figures is present. I assume that you have the usual presentation in front of you, and I would like to start with chart number three, giving some information about the development of our output volume and the order backlog. We generated an overall output of a little bit more than €2.4 billion in the first quarter of this year, which is an increase year over year of 8%. The upwards trend is being driven, as expected, especially by the German transportation infrastructures business and by large tunneling projects, which we have been awarded in Chile. Our order backlog on the end of March surpassed the €16 billion mark for the first time in our company's history and reached a new record high of €16.1 billion, which is a plus of 15% year over year. Contributing to this development once again were numerous new large orders from the public sector and the industry in Germany. Also, several new projects in different construction segments were reported in the group's core market of Central and Eastern Europe. Let's now come to our result figures, chart number four. Our EBITDA improved in the first quarter of this year from minus 57.7 million to minus 50.7 million. This can be explained by a variety of effects from numerous different projects, although the first quarter is usually, as you know, not very meaningful for making statements about the further course of the full financial year. Our depreciation and amortization was up by 5%, so that the EBIT figure at minus 143 million ended up slightly less deep in negative territory than in the year before, where it amounted to minus 145 million euros. Let's now come to the chart number five, where we give the net income after minorities. Our net interest income stood at minus 19 million euros compared to minus 9 million in the first 3 months of the year 2016. This development can be explained by the higher negative exchange rate differences in the amount of minus 13 million. In the comparison period of the previous year, this figure had stood just at minus 3 million. And the development is mainly due to the exchange differences in South America and Chile and in Poland. All in all, this resulted, as is usual for the season, in slightly more negative earnings before taxes of minus 162 million euros. Accordingly, the income tax was again in positive territory with 36.6 million and thus provided relief. The third-party shareholders bore a loss of just minus 3.5 million euros in the previous year's comparison period, when there had still been minority shareholders in our Stuttgart-based subsidiary Süblin. This figure amounted still to minus 13 million euros. Overall, the net income after minorities fell by 4% and amounted to minus 121.7 million euros. With 102,600,000 outstanding shares, this corresponds to earnings per share of minus 1 euro 19 cent after minus 1.14 in the first quarter of 2016. We now have a look at our balance sheet given on chart number six. The balance sheet total fell only slightly from the 31st December 2016 to 10 billion and 10 million euros. Conspicuous was the decrease of both the trade receivables on the asset side and the trade payables on the liability side, as well as the decrease in cash and cash equivalents. Despite the typical winter losses, our equity ratio remained unchanged versus the end of 2016 and stood at 31.5%. Our net cash position stood at minus 235.9 million. It therefore decreased, as is seasonally usual, in comparison to the year's end. We now come to our cash flow figures given on chart number seven. Our cash flow from operating activities at minus 146 million was significantly less deep in negative territory than in the first quarter of the previous year, when it had still amounted to minus 513.6 million. This was due above all to the lower reduction of the trade payables, as the working capital at 31st December 2016 had not been as exceptionally low as in the previous year. We had commented upon this when we presented our year-end figures already. The cash flow from investing activities through higher investments in property, plant, and equipment and the acquisition of some financial assets decreased by minus 28 million from the first quarter of the previous year to minus 80 million this year. The cash flow from financing activities stood at minus 25 million after minus 79 million euros in the previous year, when the figure had been influenced by the repayment of a project financing in Germany. We now have a look on the three operational segments, which you already know. The first and the biggest single one is North and West, comprising our building activities in Benelux, Scandinavia, the biggest single market, Germany, and Poland. The output volume of this segment stood at 1,087 million euros after the first 3 months of this year, which corresponds to a plus of 10% over the already high level from 31st March 2016. This positive development reflects the growth in transportation infrastructures on the German market, which in turn was influenced by a high order backlog at the end of 2016 and the relatively good weather. The EBIT of the segment remained more or less unchanged at minus 80 million after minus 79.6 million last year. Given its high share of road construction, the segment thus shows the typical substantial winter losses. The order backlog of North and West was also influenced by the figures from Germany, where it grew by more than 1.5 billion or 37% compared to the end of the first quarter of last year. In total, the order levels in the segment increased considerably by 23% to 7.7 billion euros. The most important new projects acquired in the first quarter of 2017 include the construction of a production facility for a major automobile manufacturer in Germany, as well as a new factory for a provider of electronic components, again in Germany. Let's have a look on the segment outlook. The output volume in North and West in 2017 is expected to grow in a year-on-year comparison, an assumption that to a large degree is already covered by existing contracts. The German building construction and civil engineering business should continue to contribute positively to both output volume and earnings. Because of the good employment situation, however, the prices for subcontractor services and construction materials have been in a slight upwards trend, and suppliers are passing on their price increases to the market to a far greater degree than in previous year. Overall positive outlook is also expected in the German transportation infrastructures business for the years to come. At the end of the first quarter this year, the order backlog and the output are already clearly above the previous year's figures. The German federal government had, as known, announced substantially increased investments in transportation infrastructures in this country. The number of projects up for tender slowly increased in the first quarter, but the level remained unsatisfactory in the most populous state of North Rhine-Westphalia, as the procurement and planning capacities there were reduced to a greater extent than in the rest of the country in previous years. Overall, the output volume in the German transportation infrastructures business is expected to exhibit slight growth this year. Noteworthy increases, however, will remain limited due to staff capacities. Gaining and retaining personnel is proving to be an especially difficult challenge in this market. The Polish construction sector in 2016 had remained far below the expectations with regard to the volume of tenders for large-scale projects. The public sector in Poland tendered more road construction projects already in the first quarter of 2017 than had been awarded the whole previous year, with the result, however, that the competition is more aggressive in terms of pricing. The situation is better in railway construction, where Strabag has already been able to register new orders this year. Meanwhile, the company is becoming more active in the area of public sector tenders in the Polish building construction and civil engineering sector. Overall, our group expects the output to grow by a low double-digit percentage in Poland in 2017. We now come to the second biggest segment, which is South and West, comprising our home market of Austria and everything east of Austria in Europe in the building construction, civil engineering, transportation infrastructure segment. The South and East segment generated an output volume of 642 million euros in the first 3 months of 2017, which is a plus of 5% more than in the same period of the preceding year. Driving this growth were markets like Austria and Hungary. In other markets, for example, in the Czech Republic, the output volume was down in a year-on-year comparison. The EBIT was less deep in negative territory, settling at minus 24 million after minus 44 million last year, thanks to improvements in several countries, including, among others, Hungary and Russia. The order backlog is showing a very positive development. The figure of 4.4 1 billion euros at the end of the first quarter represents a plus of 13% versus March 31st, 2016. This growth was driven mainly by large orders in our core markets. In Austria, numerous building construction contracts in Vienna are helping to fill the order books. In Hungary, Strabag is working on new road and rail orders and is building an art storage facility for around 39 million in Budapest. In Slovakia, the group was awarded a 96 million euro contract for the site development of the Nitra Industrial Park. In Russia, Strabag has landed its first substantial order in a long time, specifically a luxury apartment complex in Moscow with a contract value in the mid-double-digit million euro sphere. With regard to the segment's outlook in 2017, we expect to be able to grow the output again in the South and East segment, and to keep the margins at an attractive level. In our home market of Austria, the building construction market in the greater Vienna area is exhibiting dynamic growth. In contrast, no major growth is expected in the rest of the country or in transportation infrastructures in general. The situation in the Slovak Republic is characterized by large EU-financed infrastructure projects with a focus on the automobile industry and sports infrastructure. However, the relatively high volume of tenders is leading to higher prices for subcontractor services there. Qualified staff is a scarce resource. At the same time, construction sector competitors are estimating their bidding prices near the limit of profitability. This is also true in the Czech Republic. In contrast to Slovakia, however, projects here mostly involve private clients. The market volume in Switzerland is stagnating at a rather high level, yet the price situation remains tense. The market in Southeast Europe in general also remains a hotly contested one. Many competitors are vying for few projects. This is true in both building construction and civil engineering, as well as in transportation infrastructures. In Russia, the market appears to be slowly coming out of the recession, and Strabag seems to have left the trough on the output curve behind it. Loans to industry are still only hesitatingly being granted, and the interest rates remain rather high, but the city of Moscow has launched a residential construction scheme, and several private projects are coming onto the market. With its many years of experience in the construction of residential property, mainly in the luxury segment in large Russian cities, Strabag should be able to benefit from this development. Let me also lose a word about the cartel investigations, which we underwent after the closure of the first quarter in Austria. As shown already in the press and in the media, Strabag was part of the industry who had been investigated, especially in the regions of Carinthia and Styria. We are talking about a 10-year period of time between 2006 and 2015, and more than 100 minor or mid-sized contracts. Of course, we have announced that we fully cooperate with the authorities, and we have set up a task force to investigate on our own what has taken place there. Given the small size and the big number of projects involved, it'll take quite a time to find out more what has happened. Till today, we don't have clear evidence about the case, but as I pointed out before, of course, we continue to closely cooperate with the public authorities in that. I now would like to draw your attention to our third operational segment, which is the international, which means non-European and special division segment. In the first 3 months of this year, the output volume of this segment increased by 6% and amounted to 662 million euros. This development is due mostly to large projects in the Americas, especially in South America. The increases and decreases in Austria and Germany, on the other hand, balanced each other out. In contrast to the output volume, the revenue fell by 4% and amounted to 554 million, as the sale of a real estate project development had led to an unusually high revenue in the first quarter of 2016. I may remind you that our real estate business is reporting according to the completed contract method, whilst the rest of our business, especially the construction business, is following the percentage of completion method. This transaction of last year, among others, had also influenced the EBIT in 2016, which in 2017 thus sank to minus 38 million after minus 25 million last year. The order backlog of the segment also grew versus the level from 31st March 2016 and gained 5% up to 4.3 billion euros, mainly as the result of a new tunneling project for a copper mine in Chile in the previous year and a follow-up contract with another Chilean tunnel project. With regard to the segment's outlook, I can report that in 2017 it should be possible to generate a slightly higher output volume. The real estate development business continues to show unchanged positive growth, and the economic framework as well as the project pipeline gives reason for further optimism in this year. But close observation is necessary of interest rates and property prices. Our property and facility services business is also expected to make another quite positive contribution to earnings. The entity is continuously expanding its activities with innovative new services. In the first quarter of 2017, for example, Strabag Property and Facility Services GmbH acquired 75% of an industrial cleaning startup based in Salzburg in Austria. This company is a specialist in the environmentally friendly cleaning of machinery and industrial facilities with compressed air. In tunneling, another activity of the segment, the scarce human resources and the extremely low price level in our core markets of Austria, Germany, and Italy are making it difficult to do business economically. In the UK, the US, and Canada, on the other hand, an upswing of the tunneling business is expected due to plans for large infrastructure projects. The higher standards for the water supply in Asia's big cities should also open up new business opportunities for our micro-tunneling business. All in all, we now come to the outlook for the full year 2017, given in two sentences on chart number 11. To cut a long story short, the first quarter was developing according to plan, which means that our outlook for the full year is developing according to our initial guidance. We continue to expect the output volume to increase to at a minimum of 14 billion, which is a plus of minimum 5%, and the EBIT margin is continued to be targeted at least 3% for the full year of 2017. This is a confirmation of the guidance which we have been given at the beginning of the year. I may remind you once again that it is very usual in the construction sector that the first quarter does not allow to draw any reliable conclusions for the full year. Still, we don't have any indicators that the year as such in 12 months will not develop according to plan, and hence our confirmation of the initially given guidance for 2017. That was it for the first quarter, and now I'm very open for eventual additional quarters. Thank you very much for your attention.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please leave the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question. The first question comes from the line of Daniel Lyon with Erste. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I would have a few questions to start with. Maybe I didn't get it in the call. What was the reason why the working capital is so much better than last year? Secondly, I would like to ask you if you think that you will need to provision or to build provisions related to the illegal price agreements later this year, and if so, maybe you could provide us a feeling in what volume this could be. And thirdly, you have mentioned in your report that labor force is getting scarce. Also, you just mentioned that input prices are increasing. To what extent would you believe that this will have a negative effect on the margin development going forward?
Thank you very much, Mr. Dalion. With regard to the working capital, I did not want to say that this year was extremely good. I wanted to underpin that it was due to, above all, to the lower reduction of the trade payables, the lower reduction as compared to the previous year. And this was due to the fact that the year before, the working capital at the 31st of December 2015 had been exceptionally low. And this was not, once again, the case in 2016. And hence, the development was a lower reduction of the trade payables. And that helped to this development. Was that good enough?
Yeah. So it's okay. Just a technical issue, basically. Yeah.
With regard to the cartel investigations, it is very difficult to predict what has to be done, for instance, by the middle of the year. But the 30th of June will be the date where we have to ask ourselves where we stand. I do not expect, given the big number of cases which have to be investigated and the small size of each single case, that we will have a reliable indication what the problem is for us, but we will definitely have to ask ourselves, probably not whether we have to establish a provision for that, but eventually to foresee a contingent liability. That will be what we have to ask ourselves under IFRS by the middle of the year, but till today I wouldn't dare a prediction what will be the outcome of that procedure by the middle of the year. I expect that the whole case will take a long time to be really clarified given the two factors I mentioned before. With regard to the scarcity of labor, especially in the German construction sector, I would not like to indicate that this will probably deteriorate our margins, but it is a clear limiting factor for further growth. It was meant to underpin that we cannot expect to grow without any limit, although there are enough contracts in the market. There are natural limits for our activities, given the limited workforce which we have on our payroll. It will be the entire industry asking for qualified labor. And I might remind you that we have indicated 2 or 2.5 years ago in Germany that we would like to add about 1,000 qualified people to our workforce there. Till today, we managed to get about 530 only. And this is a clear indicator that not us alone, but everybody will have problems to find and to as much qualified labor as I would like to have. So it is more a limiting factor. I do not expect that it will lead to a decrease of our output figure or of our output. The same goes for increasing subcontractor prices and increasing prices for suppliers. This is also a limiting factor for our margin. And this underpins our prediction that one cannot expect a further limitless increase of our profit because we have a sort of glass ceiling. Even if the market development in our single biggest market, Germany, doubtlessly is very good, but it is more a limiting factor. It will be limiting a further increase of our profitability. I do not expect that it will be deteriorating our profit margins into a negative direction.
Maybe just one follow-up to this issue. When you look at the current situation, and where would you see the limits in terms of output volume or order backlog in Germany? Where would you see the maximum business scope that you could handle?
Well, this is depending on how much people we are able to attract in the future. If we are successful in attracting again, as I pointed out, we were able to get more than 500 new people since we announced that we would like to hire 1,000, and hence there is still room for increasing the volume, but it will depend on how much people and how much resources we are able to attract. And if we would not be able to attract more resources, it would be difficult to come above the figures we currently have.
Okay. Maybe just one more issue on the real estate development. Could you just give us a feeling of the business scale you expect for 2017, the impact compared to 2016? What kind of growth could be assumed from the real estate business?
Well, as I pointed out before, the real estate business for us is construction business on the one side, and on the other side it is a developing business. And there we see a very volatile movement due to the fact that as I pointed out before, we show revenues and hence results in the real estate development sector according to the completed contract method. And hence it depends on whether we are ready or able to sell a certain project or not, or whether we prefer to wait a little bit in order to get an even better margin. So it is difficult to predict, but we have made certain assumptions for a normal course of business, and that has influenced our total guidance, which means that we once again on a higher output level of 14%, we would reach as a group and whole profitability of 3%. To give you an idea what that means in absolute figures, we expect our output volume to be between 300 and 400 million euros this year in real estate development.
Okay, and this compares to how much last year?
Almost the same figure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Markus Remis with RCB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Dr. Bertl. A question regarding Poland. You stated that public tenders are gaining momentum here. I mean, what's the pricing development? Apparently, competition is moving in. Is that the same competition you see in Germany? Is it competition you know already from the last peak in Poland a couple of years ago? So if you could give us a bit more meat on the bone on the development here.
Thank you, Mr. Remis. I think the development between Germany and Poland is quite different, because in Germany we did not see, let's say, the insolvency of a major part of the industry only a few years ago, which was the case, as I might remind you, in Poland in 2012 after the end of the European Soccer Championship. Also, Strabag was faced with some problems. But you could say basically the majority of the local construction industry went bankrupt, especially the part of the industry which was active in the public sector. And
if I may interrupt you, I was rather referring to the new players moving in the market. If I remember correctly, you indicated that the French and even some Spanish players are moving into Germany. So I was wondering if these guys are also coming to Poland.
Yeah, I think the importance for the Polish market of those foreign competitors is far bigger than in Germany, because in Germany we have the local players, which are quite strong, As you know, we are the biggest single player there, but we have a market share which is about 10% only in transportation infrastructures. Whilst in Poland, the importance of foreign players, given the absence of a traditional local network, is more important. So in Germany, we see few foreign invaders, let's put it that way. Whilst in Poland, it's more important. The percentage of foreign market new foreign participants, is more important relatively in Poland than in Germany. But it is also true. Basically, we know them all from the past because they are international competitors, and given our size, we basically meet them everywhere, especially also in the non-European business. So it is not completely new market participants, as was the case with the Chinese contractor who took, as you might recall, a lot on the A2 in Poland and then disappeared again. So we don't see any such, let's say, exotic market players coming in. It is the usual international community.
Okay. And regarding the pricing, I mean, can you give us some indication on the kind of margin potential you see in the market?
Well, I still expect that there is a potential for improving margins, especially in Poland, although also there they are limited from a twofold perspective. First of all, because of the additional competitors coming in, and second, because of increasing prices in road construction. We are basically talking about raw materials prices, not subcontractor prices. But, of course, it's a normal development that given such a strong tendering activity as we currently see it in Poland, also the raw materials prices are going up, which is again helping us also because, as you know, we are also a big player in the raw materials business in Poland, especially in the asphalt mixing business.
Okay. And then one last question regarding this price fixing topic in Austria. More than 100 contracts. I mean, what's the roughly the volume that is covered by these contracts? I mean, they were contradicting news in the press. Do you have any indication for us?
Yeah, thank you very much for giving me the occasion to clarify that once again, because in the first days in the press you could read about an overall loss effected for the public authorities of 100 million euros, which was not the case. We are talking of an overall contract value of about 100 million euros, which is a figure for more than 100 projects. And this, again, allows the conclusion that on the average we are talking about rather small or the best mid-sized projects. So the problem is not 100 million euros, but the total contract value over 10 years and for over 100 contracts is about 100 million euros.
Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Remis.
The next question comes from the line of Tobias Loschkamp with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Two questions that I would like to ask. Firstly, a follow-up on your previous statement that you see new tenders recovering in Central and Eastern Europe. Could you provide us with an idea whether this is largely EU finance projects that now come back to the, you know, that are now come back to execution, or is it the private sector? And then the second question is on the North and West segment. I mean, you grew 10% in the first quarter. The order backlog is strong. At the same time, you're talking about capacity constraints in Germany. Would you say that 10% is a fair value, a growth expectation for the full year? And the challenge will be then more to grow there, let's say, from 2018 onwards? Or how should we look at the situation?
Thank you, Mr. Loskamp. Well, with regard to the project pipeline in Central and Eastern Europe, the situation is difficult from market to market. But you could say in general, once we are talking about infrastructure, of course, we are talking about public projects, and the rule for such public projects in the CE countries is that they are EU co-financed. So if we talk about more railway projects in Hungary or Poland, we are talking basically of EU co-financed projects under the regime of the so-called TEN, which is the Trans-European Network. Also in the Slovak Republic, the infrastructure projects are characterized by large EU co-financing, whilst, the private projects in the Slovak Republic, which are also important for us in the automobile industry, are, of course, private projects where the EU doesn't grant any subsidies. Also in the Czech Republic, the public sector is supported by EU co-financing, whilst we have minor business, as you probably recall, also in Serbia, where it goes without saying that also the infrastructure segment is very small, and this is partly due to the fact that, of course, Serbia doesn't take advantage from EU co-financing, not being an EU member state. There we see some, for instance, Chinese soft loans playing a role in the market, but the overall level of these activities is very low. So in general, in our core countries in CE, being EU member states, infrastructure is being EU co-financed, yes.
Okay, and then this has also been the reason for the increased order intake.
Yeah. Order intake, especially in Poland, but also in Hungary. This is what we expected a year before, where we had said that the end of the first EU cohesion funds regime by the end of 2015 might have caused a certain downturn, which should be compensated for in the course of the running year, and this expectation has come true. When it comes to Germany, as I pointed out before, it will depend on our ability to attract new resources, whether or not we continue our growth path there. If not, I would expect that the currently achieved output volume is already on a very high level, and we do have very few unused capacities in Germany, and I would not expect the growth rate to grow even further then. But there are still some chances, as, of course, we have a certain attractiveness being the biggest single employer in the market, and given our huge efforts with regard to increasing our attractiveness further in the market, we are well known for good professional education measures and so on. So I hope that we will be able to, by the end of the day, to even achieve the number of 1,000 additional employees in road construction business, which would be a plus of 10% again.
All right. Very clear. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by one on your telephone. We have a follow-up question from the line of Markus Remis with RCB. Please go ahead.
Coming back to Germany again. I mean, we've seen it in other markets where there was a scarcity in terms of personnel that foreign workers have come in. I mean, is that something where you still see potential to kind of avoid a bottleneck, or is that already kind of executed?
Yeah, that is something which you already see in the market, given the overall market development in Germany. For instance, we already face some problems in the western part of Poland to keep our people there and to get new people from the market, because many of them, especially those who are able to speak a little German, have already moved to Germany. So it is especially a question between Germany and Poland that Germany right now is attracting rather essential numbers of foreign workers. Given the good development in our markets, for us currently, it is not an option to transfer group resources from one country to another, given the fact that we have a good order intake also in the neighbor states of Germany. But all in all, it is a development which can already be observed, yes.
Yeah. And does it maybe, on the other hand, allow you, if you know, capacities are scarce, does it allow you to become maybe a bit more selective in when it comes to the underlying profitability of the project, so that you might give in one or the other percentage of growth in exchange for better underlying profitability?
Definitely yes, yes, definitely yes. The selection of project is a huge subject for us, and we will definitely be trying to use that positive market development to ensure our profitability and our level of profitability by making more, let's say, strict or stringent selection of which projects we are bidding for, which projects we are really taking.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Remis.
We have another follow-up question from the line of Daniel Lyon with Erste. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi again, actually. One is related to your materials business. How does the development look there? Do you already see price increases, which also goes hand in hand with margin improvement, given rising input factors, maybe scarcity, or is it too early to see that? And if you see price increases, margin increases, to what extent this compares to last year, maybe? This is the first. And the second one, maybe you could share your current status on the syndicate, of course, knowing that you don't comment this a lot, but maybe just give us an update of what to expect in the coming weeks and months regarding communication from your side.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Lyon. Well, with regard to the raw materials business, you could, of course, generally state that the construction materials business as such is strongly tied to the construction economy. That means that the development or the pricing development is different according to the market development in various markets. The prices for raw materials are definitely going up currently in Germany. They are stable in Austria and the Czech Republic. They are still difficult in some Southeast European countries, but they are, as I pointed out before, also going up in Poland. There is a specific part of the raw material business which is also linked to the oil price, and this, of course, is the case for bitumen, which is one of the ingredients for asphalt, playing an essential role as raw material in construction business. And given the still rather low price level of crude oil, also the bitumen prices had been higher in past years. So asphalt is a certain exception. It is not as strongly tied to the construction market as gravel or stone and so on, or concrete. There we have also the oil price to take into consideration. But let's say, in general, you could say when construction is going up in a certain market, as is the case in Germany and Poland, this is also true for the raw material prices in the construction sector. With regard to the syndicate, I just can state what I had been saying before. We all know that there is a time limit until the middle of the year, which is the 30th of June, where the participants of the current syndicate are allowed to declare that they want the syndicate to expire by the end of the year. Each syndicate member has the right to do that. Whether or not one or several of the syndicate partners will doing that is not known to the management board. We will be knowing that by the 3rd of June, 24 hours, and hence a prediction is difficult to make.
But we can expect that there will be a release if there's any news flow regarding this topic.
Yes, of course. Once the action has been taken, there's no reason not to talk about it. No.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
There are no further questions at this time. Hand back to Thomas Birtel for closing comments.
Thank you very much for your attention, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again once we are publishing our half year's figures. Thank you very much. All the best. Bye-bye.